The bag is packed with the sticks. The drinks are cold. And the scorecard's ready to go. Time to hit the links.
I don't even know what I said in the postgame show because I was watching. I probably was talking about Bryson and Rory for all I know.
This is On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips.
Exciting Brewers game ends with a guy getting gunned down at the plate. And Stevens.
Rory took the lead!
Stevens on Brewers Live talking about Bryson's up and down.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue. Alongside Bally Sports' Stephen Watson, here's Gabe Neitzel.
On the tee, Gabe Neitzel, Stephen Watson, and the big news earlier today in the world of professional golf. And we'll get into the Tour Championship and Creator Classic and all those sorts of things that happen on the PGA Tour. But also today, the finalization of the President's Cup teams, the international squad, Team USA, playing in 3 weeks up at Royal Montreal in Canada. And the Team USA made some interesting decisions, I guess, from their captain and Jim Furyk. So Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, Wyndham Clark, Patrick Hanley, and Sahith Theegala, automatic qualifiers. The six automatic qualifiers, Stephen. And then here were the captain's selections.
Which I think any of us really could have done if we can read a sheet of paper.
Keegan Bradley, Sam Burns, Tony Finau, Brian Harman, Russell Henley, Max Homa, which coincidentally, numbers 7 through 12 on the President's Cup points standings. I don't even have any idea how they, you know, put those points together. But going chalk and taking the easy way out was Jim Furyk. And even though he was asked earlier today, it's kind of, you know, easy way to do it, right? The less controversial. Well, I don't know if it's less controversial. Man, you did not take a single risk.
I can tell you my 2-year-old daughter can count to 12, and I think she could have probably gone 7 through 12 also.
Keegan Bradley should not be on this team.
Oh, I disagree there. We'll get into it.
Keegan Bradley should not be on this team. Brian Harman should not be on this team.
I'll agree with you there.
You know what? Russell Henley, I'm okay with him being on this team because, so Kyle Porter tweeted this out earlier today. If you're somebody who likes to look at the data golf and dive into the numbers type of thing, they, you know, their big thing is strokes gained, obviously. And over the last 12 months, do you think you could name of qualified Americans, because Bryson DeChambeau would be on this list, obviously not qualified because this is a PGA Tour event, the President's Cup is, so the LIV guys can't play. Do you think you could tell me the top five Americans in terms of strokes gained over the last 12 months?
Scottie Scheffler.
Yep.
Xander Schauffele.
That's 1-2.
Colin Morikawa.
Is number 3. So Bryson would have been 4, but I'm looking for the next ones of qualified, so you need the bottom 2 here.
Wyndham Clark.
Wyndham Clark is, looks like 10th on this list.
No bueno. Well, clearly Russell Henley's on
the list. So Russell Henley's on the list. Yes, he would be number 4.
That's surprising.
He would be number 4. And then number 5.
Sam Burns?
Burns would have been 6. Number 5 did not make the team.
Justin Thomas?
Justin Thomas. But again, so just in the Henley pick, like, do I expect Russell Henley to be on the Ryder Cup team next year? No, I don't expect him to be on the Ryder Cup team. But that doesn't mean that he hasn't earned his spot here. So I'm cool with him being on this team. You know, for him to go up there and get it. I guess you could make those same arguments for Brian Harman, Keegan Brett. Like, Keegan wouldn't be on this team if I can't remember who at who missed a putt.
It was Tom Kim who went 6-6-6.
Yeah.
In order for him to sneak into the 50th spot, and ends up winning at
the BMW. If Tom Kim doesn't go 6-6-6, Keegan Bradley's not on this team.
Could Tom Kim maybe be playing the long game? President's Cup?
You know what?
Automatic qualifier for the President's Cup team?
I would. I mean, that is just galaxy brain type stuff.
Like, I'm doing the Brian Windhorst meme right now in my head.
Why would he go 6-6-6 on the last 3 holes?
To make us believe that Keegan can be a playing captain.
So, that's why I wouldn't say Keegan should be on this team.
You know, I'm actually fine with Keegan being on this team because I think that he went out there and won a big tournament with some of the best players in the world. He has made it very clear that he wants to be a playing captain. Give him more motivation give him more reason to love USA Golf. I don't think he's going to be a Ryder Cup player. I don't think he's going to... He's made it very clear
exactly.
He's not going to pick
which
himself.
Which is why he should be an assistant captain, be in the hip pocket of Jim Furyk, learn everything that you possibly can about being a captain, so that way, for next year, you're ready to go. Because Furyk said today in when he was on Golf Channel that they're basically relieving Keegan Bradley of all duties as an assistant captain.
You think he's going to learn that much from Jim Furyk?
Yeah.
Furyk's the old guard. He's the new guard.
I want him to have some idea of what he's getting himself into.
I'm more intrigued about who Jim Furyk picks as his next vice captain to replace Keegan Bradley. Because that guy is probably going to be...
a potential Ryder Cup captain down the road?
I think it's going to be Billy Horschel, who was left off this list, who played really well down the stretch.
Billy Horschel's never going to be a Ryder Cup captain.
Why, he's got some demons or something?
Well, no, I'm just saying he's never going to be a Ryder Cup captain. What great Ryder Cup memories of... Billy Horschel do you have?
He is sponsored by Polo. He is the perfect Ryder Cup captain. He would wear the swag so well.
Would he look good in the swag?
Yeah.
He's a handsome man. Of course he would look good in the swag.
Intimidation factor.
But I don't want Billy Horschel anywhere near
I love
the
Billy
captaincy
Horschel.
of my team. Who are you, Dan Needles?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And that's the end of that conversation.
But, yeah.
I do. Here's one thing I will say about Jim Furyk.
Okay.
I'm really happy to see JT not on this list. I think it's a good thing for all parties because JT lost his crutch in Jordan Spieth. Those two were a tandem deal on USA Golf for the foreseeable future. Spieth gets his wrist surgery, made that very clear. He was not even going to be in consideration for a President's Cup, nor would he have even gotten close to probably being considered with how bad of a season that he had. But the crutch was always JT and Spieth are a package deal. JT played better golf this year.
But they weren't in 2019 at the President's Cup. JT was on that team. Granted, then he played with Tiger a bunch when Tiger was a playing captain down in Australia.
Yeah.
But that was,
and Spieth was terrible that year.
Exactly. I mean,
he found his way back, and that's where I say the crutch, because they've leaned on each other. They've needed each other through this process. So this was a way of saying, all right, Spieth isn't here. JT, you've played better, but you got to go out and earn this moving forward.
Did you not just hear me tell you where he ranked in the data golf strokes gained over the last 12 months?
He hasn't won a tournament since 2022 PGA, Gabe. I need to see JT go out and win something.
Did I miss the tournament Morikawa won this year? Did I miss the tournament that Patrick Cantlay went
Morikawa,
out and won this year?
Morikawa won the Tour Championship. I don't care that Scotty Scheffler had a two-stroke lead. Colin Morikawa went out there and won the tournament.
More on that in later in the show.
Colin Morikawa had top tens galore this golf season. He was the third best player on Team USA this entire golf season.
Justin Thomas, yes, but Justin Thomas had a pretty darn good season as well. Like, I understand he didn't win this year, but you don't finish fifth on that list of strokes gained for nothing. Like, he made it to the Tour Championship. I know he didn't win. I know he wasn't top five on leaderboards, but he was a hell of a lot better this year than he was last year when he made the Ryder Cup team, which, oh, by the way, Ryder Cup, a little more important than the President's Cup.
Yeah, but I actually agreed with Zach Johnson's thinking of you don't leave JT off of a Ryder Cup team because his record has spoken for itself. Well, he didn't participate very well and play very well in Rome. Even though he has this great USA record, JT needs a break. JT needs to go out there and become the JT that we've seen for most of his career up until the last
I think he's trending
years.
In the right direction. Like, I'm not worried about JT.
I
was surprised that he did not make this team. But that's where... So if you're going to leave JT off this team, fine. Like, don't put Keegan on.
My bigger
problem... Don't put Brian Harman on. You've got an opportunity. You've got some younger guys like Akshay Bhatia on the bottom of this list, Stephen, that... I guess I look at the President's Cup like this. The President's Cup for Team USA is a breeding ground for the Ryder Cup. That's the way they've done it with captains. I believe it was 2017 in New York when Steve Stricker was the President's Cup captain, and that was kind of like the, you know, dress rehearsal to eventually becoming the Ryder Cup captain in 2020, which was then, of course, pushed to 2021 at Whistling Straits. Like, this is the way it has worked, where, and I understand it's more important for the internationals, but they're not very good, and they haven't really been competitive in this event, and maybe they're competitive in this. I guess I don't care. But this is an opportunity to kind of get your feet wet, especially if you are a younger player. And if Akshay Bhatia is going to be as good as he has looked, as good as he has flashed, I don't think he's going to be a stalwart, a mainstay, that for the next decade, this guy's going to be on every, you know, American team in these international competitions. But he's good enough. He's going to make a couple. And if you are, if you have the opportunity to put him on this team instead of Brian Harmon, instead of Keegan Bradley, instead of Sam Burns, instead of Tony Finau, like, go for it. Use this as that breeding ground. And again, like, Keegan's been on these teams before. Didn't need to be there. Tony Finau, who knows what form he shows next year. He could be on the Ryder. Like, if you told me he's on the Ryder Cup team next year, cool. But I could also see a world where he's not, because he wasn't on the previous Ryder Cup team. Sam Burns, whatever. Brian Harmon. Like I said, Russell Henley, I'm not expecting to be there. 35 years old. But good for him for earning his way on there. I'm cool with that guy being there. I just think there's an opportunity to have some of this youth and use it. So you're ready for the Ryder Cup, but unfortunately that's not the way Jim Furyk went.
I just don't understand why you think Russell Henley deserves it more than Keegan Bradley.
Because he was better this year. I mean, so outside of one week.
Keegan's won three times in the last 2 years.
Outside of 1 week this year, though. I mean, was Keegan really that good? Outside of 1 week? If you take that win away, which again, I understand, we're taking away the top thing that he did this year. You don't even have to take the win away. You take away the 6-6-6 that Tom Kim had, and Justin Thomas' season probably blows Keegan's out of the water. Right?
Yeah,
but so it was completely out of Keegan's control. Yes, he got hot for a week, and that's great. But when you're going into these team competitions, you want the guys who are playing the best. And this year, Keegan Bradley just wasn't that guy. He was worse than Harmon this year.
22 events played, missed just four cuts, three top tens, two runners up, and a win. It's a pretty good golf season for Keegan Bradley.
Yeah, but again, if you take away the win, which he got in by the grace of somebody else.
It doesn't matter how he got in. He went out there and won a FedEx Cup playoff event.
Yeah. How much do you think...
It's an elevated event. Call it what you want. He went out there and won a signature event this year.
I just don't think he necessarily actually earned his way in. He got in because of somebody else's mess up. Sure, he played great that 1 week. Did he play great this past week? Or did he kind of revert back to who he was?
I feel like the larger argument is, why are Bhatia and Nick Dunlop not on this team?
Well, so Nick Dunlop's another interesting one.
Because Nick Dunlop played better than any of the guys we've discussed this year.
So he won twice, but I don't... This is why the tour is just so bleeped up, man.
Well, yeah.
Like, I don't think he gets credit somehow in any of these standings. I know he didn't get credit in the FedEx Cup standings for winning the first event he did, the American Express, which was the far more impressive of the two wins because of the nature of the field. He won an opposite field event then later. But he still won two PGA Tour events this year. I don't think he gets credit somehow for the first one. But yeah. Why not have Nick Dunlop there? I'm cool with that. And again, I just feel like Keegan needs to focus on being a captain. I hate the fact that he's trying to get into the top six. I hate it. Because I want him to get ready as a captain, man. Like, this is a serious thing, right? Oh, being the captain of Team USA?
I think he takes it pretty seriously.
No, he doesn't. Because he wants to make the team as a player more.
That's a competitor in him.
Yeah, sure, great. But then don't accept the captaincy. Because the captaincy is an important part. It's an important part of this whole process. And if you're not going to give your full attention to it because you want to make it as a player, then you're not ready to be captain. Maybe someday, some other time down the line, you can be captain.
You don't think there's any value in him being a player at the President's Cup for a pool of guys who are likely going to be playing for him?
Zero value in being a player. I'd rather have him, because being a player is different than being a captain. Being a captain, you got to make the tough decisions. Being a player, you're not making any of those decisions. Like, you already know what it's like to be a player in these things. You've played in these things before.
What tough decisions is he making as a vice captain?
But what's he learning? You're in that room. You're in that room making those decisions. You're seeing how this process works, what they do.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't like the way he did it. Maybe I'll do it differently. You're actually getting some sort of an idea of what it is to be an assistant captain or a captain in a in an international team event. You're disconnected from that as a player.
I understand what you're saying. All I'm saying is they chose Keegan to be different. And this is, in my opinion, the final event of the old guard. USA Golf is flipping their script on how they've done it in the past. And this is the final one where they're like, all right, Jim, you've been a vice captain for all these big events in the past. Here's your shot. Once the Ryder Cup comes, we're doing it differently. And that's why it doesn't bother me so much that Keegan is playing alongside guys that he's going to be leading next year.
That sounds great. But who did they have call Keegan Bradley to offer him the captaincy?
There's no defending that.
So that's why I don't think anything's really changing in terms of the way decisions are made.
They just wanted a cute little Instagram Netflix moment. They got it.
Don't pick, and literally pick anybody else. It doesn't have to be Zach. Doesn't have to be objectively one of the worst captains of the last 20 years for Team USA.
Zach is like the old girlfriend who just won't go away. Just keeps ribbing at you.
I wish I would have
finds her way onto your timeline even though you don't want her.
I wish I would have had access to Full Swing before the Ryder Cup. Because I would have known Team USA was done the second he referred to JT as Jay Tizzle.
Yeah, don't you think the producers of Netflix and Full Swing, it was their right to protect America and realize who we had in this guy?
Hey, just kind of leak some of it. Just throw some of it out there. Just to give me a warning so I don't get my hopes up. Wake up early.
Our loss in Rome is on them.
Now we're lashing out to the point where we're blaming the Netflix producers for our Ryder Cup loss.
They saw what we couldn't.
All right, we'll continue to talk about this because the international team made their picks as well. Who else could have made this team other than the chalk picks that Jim Furyk made? That's all coming up next. But next week, we are going to be live at the Bog Golf Course. Steven and I, of course, very familiar, played 100 holes out there earlier for the Ringer event with the Mac Fund, had the ESPN Milwaukee Open out there, and they have 18 unforgettable holes, 250 acres, natural private land. The Bog provides ultimate golf experience. To book your next tee time, call 262-284-7075 or visit golfthebog.com. Enjoy golf. Enjoy the Bog. Still trying to wrap our head around the President's Cup picks from Team USA. But I guess we also, Stephen, didn't really take time and pause and try to figure out, you know, just take a closer look at the automatic qualifiers. I mean, the top six guys were Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, Wyndham Clark, Patrick Cantlay, Sahith Theegala, in that order. You know, Sahith played really well late in the season. You know, would have been even closer at the Tour Championship if he didn't brush a couple of grains of sand at a backswing. What was that, Friday, Saturday? Can't remember which day that was.
He's a better man than me.
Yeah, because there was no video evidence of it. But he also, he turned himself in because he didn't think it was that big. Like, oh, it must be an intent thing, and it's not.
Yeah.
If it would be, again, deemed improving your lie, which is why he was hit with a two-stroke penalty. I mean, Scotty and Xander are the two best players in the world. There's no, you know,
pretty safe, easy picks.
Yeah, those are, I don't think there's really much. Do you have anything that you would like to add about Scottie Scheffler or Xander Schauffele as the automatic qualifiers for Team USA?
Pretty good seasons for both of them.
All right. We can move on.
I feel pretty comfortable.
Colin Morikawa did not win, but you know, had a strong major season.
Yeah.
Was, you know, again, just a very consistent player. The ball striking for him this year, if you dive into the stats, not his best ball striking year, and that's what he's known for, but his short game has vastly improved. The chipping, the putting, which is part of the reason why he was so consistent this year.
And a strong showing in USA events in years past. A 2-1-0 record at the President's Cup in 2022. He's 4-3-1 overall in Ryder Cup. So he's a winning record in all of his events that he's played for Team USA.
I mean, if you're not going to get partnered up with Scotty and Xander, especially because Scotty just is going to make a million birdies, and you know, especially an alternate shot is never going to put you in a bad spot. Colin is about as steady as they come.
Yeah.
Like, just, that's the type of partner you're looking for,
and
right?
Type of guy that a captain is like, all right, I can throw you with anyone. Any type of game, and you fit. I mean, that's why I think Colin's going to be on these rosters for a long time.
Yeah, as long as he continues to show this form. You know, if this type of consistency, I understand he hasn't won, and it doesn't seem like he's as good as the guy who just burst onto the scene and won two majors seemingly almost immediately. But the consistency, like, he's brought up the floor. So that's really helped with his consistency.
Yeah, his short game is what was holding him back. And, I mean, his ball striking, his iron play is among the best in the world. He's starting to figure out the short game, and that's how you win match play. So I'm excited to see what Morikawa can do there.
Wyndham Clark seems like he could, you know, use someone like Colin Morikawa as a teammate in some of these matches for the President's Cup, because when it's good, it's good, and when it's not, it's...
Yeah, that's very well phrased, because I can't figure him out. When he went and won the U.S. Open, didn't feel like he deserved it. He kind of backed his way into it. He deserved it through 54 holes,
but he
backed his way into that finish.
No, but... And you're just thinking about 18.
I know.
Think about the three wood he hit on, what was that, 14 or 15? Whatever the par 5 was, where Rory ended up kind of making a mess of it. You know, he dumped it, and then he got the drop and tried to get up and down, couldn't do it. And think about the three wood that he's absolutely pierced into that from 275 yards, pierces a three wood into like a 10-yard wide opening to hit it on that green. Like, that's when he put away the U.S. Open, and then he hits the wipey fade that somehow stays in the fairway in 18, and that somehow becomes everybody's memory of him.
Yeah.
But he also hit the sauciest shot of the year when he, you know, club twirled it in the dark, throwing a dart in there to get to the last group on Saturday.
That was sexy.
And then, again, that three wood was quite possibly the shot of the year in 2023.
But he was so good this year. With the exception of majors, which is why I can't, it's hard for me to commit to this guy.
Well, but it's not even just the majors. It was the middle part of his season, because he was doing great, and he won in 54 holes when they shortened up Pebble Beach. Second at the Players.
And at Bay Hill,
both to Scotty.
During his crazy run there.
So it's like, okay, well, here comes Wyndham. He's going to be hanging around, and then the major season hit. And
Masters,
just...
cut. PGA, cut. The U.S. Open, T56. The Open, cut.
Yeah.
He missed three of the four cuts and T56 in the other.
Yeah, the important events this year, you know, that meaty part of the schedule that we really only care about as golf fans, just not very good. And then he played pretty decent in the back part of the season.
Yeah.
You know,
T7
had a decent,
at St. Jude, T13 at BMW, and then with his staggered start, he ended up finishing eighth at the Tour Championship.
So again, a solid finish, but yeah, I'm with you. It's hard to get over lights brightest. Here's the time where you have to shine. Happens four times a year on the PGA Tour.
Yeah,
and
he's going to be making his President's Cup debut, and at his Ryder Cup debut, he went 1-1-1. So it's like, who is this guy? I don't know. It's just I don't know if he's going to hold Team USA back, or because he's just such a steady golfer and he makes enough top fives in a season, is he just going to be on Ryder Cup teams for the future because he can get in on points? He's kind of like Patrick Cantlay.
I don't know if I want him in alt shot. Because he could put your partner into some pretty... But I think in the four ball, he makes enough birdies where you pair him with somebody solid, you know, and steady like Colin.
Yeah.
Maybe he makes enough birdies that he can make a difference there.
And I know we'll get into a deep dive preview leading up to the President's Cup in a few weeks, but let's not forget the format of President's Cup. It's different than Ryder Cup. There's another match.
There is.
So only two guys sit instead of four. So they're going to have decisions to make.
Which is why, honestly, Team USA has dominated this event, because their depth...
Yeah.
It's just so much better than the international team, and you add more matches, the better that is favored for Team USA. I mean, really, I guess the only one I have quite, because Cantlay, despite not winning, I mean, Patrick Cantlay is.
He's 6-3-0 in President's Cup. He's 5-2-1 at Ryder Cup.
Yeah, you know who Patrick Cantlay is.
Kind of became the bad boy of USA golf in Rome. You know? We'll see if he wears a hat in Montreal, but...
And then Sahith, you know, Sahith is just a fun story.
Yeah. Easy guy to root for, international debut. He played on the 2018 Arnold Palmer Cup team. That was his last international appearance. So, you know, he's getting up for this opportunity. He's had a great season. Just the thought of watching his family cheer him on in Montreal and the way that they're going to capture that on TV is just gets me excited, because he truly is one of the feel-good stories in golf.
So your thoughts then quickly on the international team: Hideki Matsuyama, Sungjae Im, Adam Scott, Tom Kim, Jason Day, Ben Ahn are the six automatically qualifiers. Then Christian Bezuidenhout, Corey Connors, Mackenzie Hughes, Siwoo Kim, Minwoo Lee, and Taylor Pendrith end up being the six captains picks for Mike Weir.
I can't believe it. I can't believe Mike Weir's captain's picks. He didn't take Adam Hadwin or Nick Taylor.
Yeah,
in Montreal.
Over, yeah, skipped over Team Canada. Kind of stabbing. And by the way, it's not because Adam Hadwin was right there. Like, he was just outside that top 12. Like, could have easily, oh yeah, Adam Hadwin, he's there. Instead, you know, somebody like Taylor Pendrith ends up being a selection.
And Taylor Pendrith earned it. I thought he played really well down the stretch, especially in the FedEx Cup playoffs, to fight his way onto this roster. Corey Connors was a no-brainer. He was, I think, the sixth or seventh guy, so he was the top guy in points that hadn't been automatically qualified. And I know that Mike Weir, who's a Canadian himself, would have probably been given a lot of grief for picking four, maybe five Canadians, but if there is ever a time to do it, did you watch the Canadian Open last year? Did you watch Nick Taylor win in a playoff with that 60-plus point
eagle putt?
Did you see how the crowd reacted to that? That putt alone earned Nick Taylor a spot on the team. I know he didn't have the best of seasons, but Taylor and Hadwin played together at Zurich, and they had a top 10 there as partners. I can't believe that both of those guys are off this roster. You talk about the phone call that Zach Johnson had to make to guys. You imagine that phone call from Mike Weir to Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin?
To his fellow countrymen? Hey, sorry, boys. Didn't make it in Canada.
The biggest opportunity for Canadian golf to shine.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to leave two of our horses off.
Although, I'm excited for Minwoo Lee, to be completely honest. Because that guy, you want to talk about somebody like who can get hot and then fly too close to the sun and just fall back to earth?
Yeah.
Minwoo Lee, man. That guy hit some... If you've ever paid attention before he came over and started playing more in the States, like, there were a couple of times where I woke up and, you know, it's a Saturday morning, didn't have anything to do, and you're just, you know, oh, hey, let's see what European Tour events on Golf Channel. And there are some shots that this guy just nukes. The ball speed is unbelievable.
And he's got a good personality. I think he's kind of like the future of golf, one of those guys you can really lean into. In the short term, I think they got the Australian pick wrong, though. Cam Davis has been playing really good golf.
Oh, has he?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a better thing for Team USA then Minwoo Lee is on this roster instead of Cam Davis, because Cam Davis scares me a little bit more. And I get to watch Minwoo Lee, who, again, great personality.
Very entertaining.
Honestly, the guy I compare him to is like Ludwig Aubert, where I watch him swing and I just, like, I am in awe. Mm-hmm. And I don't care that he's beating us. I just want to watch him play more golf.
Yeah, and with Ludwig, he's a lot more consistent. Again, Minwoo's a little all over the place. Again,
yeah, he's kind of like their Jordan Spieth experience.
You kind of get that type of ball speed, and it every once in a while it gets a little squirrely. But I think that's going to be a lot of fun. But still, you look at that international team, and it's
there's a reason Team USA has won 12 of 14 of these. They just lack depth.
Yeah.
If USA loses this one, I don't even know what to say.
I mean, Jim Furyk is never going to be around any of these team events ever again. I'll tell you that.
He's
going to
get the Tom Watson type of black ball.
Yeah, it just Team USA here. Yeah, it's we'll break it down here again 3 weeks up at Royal Montreal when it's going to happen. But despite this not being one of the strongest teams, I think, that Team USA has put out there in a while, still better than whatever the internationals are putting out there.
Yeah.
They've also been, you know, scraping. Again, they're missing some guys.
Yeah.
Went over to live that have no chance of playing because this is, again,
a PGA Tour sanctioned
events. We are going to dive into another PGA Tour sanctioned event. Of course, that's the Tour Championship. How did we feel about the staggered start? Is it time to move on off of that? What did we think of the renovations done to East Lake Golf Course? That's all coming up, but one place that we know we're always going to agree on, it's Erin Hills. Golf Digest, 10th-ranked public course in the nation. Charming overnight accommodations and a championship golf experience. And of course, host of the 2025 U.S. Women's Open Championship. You can always learn more about booking your tee times in the future at erinhills.com.
This is On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
PGA Tour season officially in the books. Tour Championship wrapped up with Scottie Scheffler claiming the top prize on the PGA Tour. The two-stroke head starts certainly helped as he was able to pull away from the field and have a pretty boring Sunday, to be honest, after his shank that he had out of the bunker. Then he just kind of hit the back nine and ran away and hid from everybody. But it's just, it's still one of those things that I have a hard time taking serious because it doesn't feel like a serious event. Even though the PGA Tour tries to make it serious. For example, Scheffler starting at 10 under par with a two-stroke lead, goes out and shoots 65 on day one, and then has whatever he had. Was it a seven-shot lead or a six-shot lead, whatever it was. And only this many times in PGA Tour history has this ever happened. And I think Max Homa had the appropriate reaction of Chiefs score two touchdowns in the first quarter, lead by 30. You know, like, what are we actually doing here trying to rewrite history of, when you have a net championship the way that the Tour Championship has become, and then you still try to be serious about it, you lose me a bit as a golf fan.
When the players haven't fully bought in, that's when you lose me. You need the players to buy in for me to buy in.
Colin Morikawa putting out on Instagram that he was disappointed because he forgot to sign up for the gross division and had only signed up for the net division because, of course, he would have won the Tour Championship if it was not for the head start that Scottie Scheffler had.
Yeah, and Max is taking, guys who are supposed to be your likable faces of the PGA Tour who are poking fun at the setup of the PGA Tour.
Honestly, though, kind of makes them more likable.
Yeah.
Because they're representing what we think is a fan base. And I can't remember who it was, but some bigger golf account had put out there on Twitter of, you know, about this format and should it change. And I think 84% of people returned saying that it should be. Like, there just seems to be a disconnect and something broken when it comes to, because it seemed like for a while, the identity of the FedEx Cup playoffs was, oh, look at all this money that these guys are playing for. And honestly, with everything that's happened, and we talked about this a little bit last week, with the Xander Schauffele comments, but we're kind of numb to money in golf now.
In most of sport.
Yeah. I really don't care that. Do you care as a fan that Scottie Scheffler won $25 million? I mean, good for him, but as a fan, I don't give a rip. I don't care.
No, I care about seeing competitive back nine on a Sunday.
And what did we not get? Thanks to a nice little cushion that he got. Which, and I understand where he's coming from in terms of the Tour markets this as a season-long race for the FedEx Cup. And he called this entire thing silly, the entire process silly. Because
he's like, I earned it, give me my check, and we're done, right? Mm-hmm. I actually didn't mind the whole, here's the event winner, and here's the Tour champion. And we just hand them two different trophies. Rarely would it be the same. Tiger, I think, got it as the same.
Tiger got it as the same a couple of times.
But like that didn't bother me because that was a way to be like, hey, this is an elevated signature, whatever adjective or
whatever verbiage they're using.
You
want
to describe it like you'll make more money if you win this event. But if you were our Player of the Year, which is essentially what the Tour champion is, you get the big prize. I kind of like that better than the staggered start. I want to watch a tournament with meaning on a Sunday and not somebody who has been the best player all year and he has a seven-stroke lead after day one.
But
is not how I tune into golf.
But I don't know. And maybe this has been just a flashlight has been put on this big time because of the PGA Tour and LIV split. I don't really know what the meaning of the playoffs are on the PGA Tour. Because when you think of playoffs in every other sport, this is big time.
Yeah.
This is prime time. These three events are maybe they sneak into the top 10 of the most important tournaments that happen every year.
Yeah. We went through our list last week or the week before, and that's why I feel like you should almost have an in-season tournament feel to the NBA.
Sure.
Throw it in the middle of summer during a lull and get guys to ramp up towards a major, right? So the Open was my suggestion of put the Open at a little bit later, maybe right around now, this time of year. The weather's not going to change that much overseas from July until the end of August, early September. So make July almost an in-season tournament, build towards the final major of the year, and take a break.
Yeah, I just, it's one of those things, you're trying to figure out how to make these, make this mean more. And I heard, I don't know if it was on No Laying Up, I don't know if it was on the Shotgun Star, I can't remember whose idea this is, but I really liked it, of just flipping. So at the end of the year, they have, and I don't even know how many people actually know about this, because it doesn't get talked about really a ton, but like the Comcast Business Top 10.
Yeah.
And at the end of the regular season, that comes to a close before they go to Memphis. And obviously, Scotty Scheffler, I think he got like $8 million
yep.
for finishing first on that list. And, you know, that pays out appropriately for, you know, basically the regular season standings. To me, you could just kind of, and I love this idea. Again, I can't remember where I heard it, but just kind of flip it. Okay, end of regular season, wherever you finished. All right, you finished first. Here's your $25 million. And now you take that money that you had for the Comcast and you put it into whatever wacky, wild postseason, silly season fun thing. If you wanted to turn this into a match play, if you want to have your net division, like do all that.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know if it's just more of the live. And as we've talked about, like these events need to be, they need to feel different than a regular PGA Tour stop. And right now, the more interesting things are what's happening in the first couple of rounds. Because the interesting thing, and it ended up being huge for Keegan, by getting into number 50, not only did it get him to the next week and then obviously a win,
yep.
but more importantly, it gets him to the signature events next year.
Yep.
By getting into the top 30 in the Tour Championship, that gets you into all four majors next year. And now the Tour Championship's just about money. But there are some pretty significant status things within the game to get you access to the actual biggest tournaments that are more interesting than the actual final product, right? Like it's...
Yeah.
It just kind of seems backwards, and it doesn't make a ton of sense.
To build off of your suggestion of wherever you heard that from also is, why not do a USAM style event, match play to the end of the year, right? Where you find an iconic venue
mm-hmm.
and you play essentially a seeded 64 USAM style 5 or 6 day match play event all week long. Use an iconic course. Pick your course. Pebble. I don't know.
Pebble. Riv.
Yeah. Find a venue that people love.
Medina.
You know, Kiowa. Anything. Yeah. Right? You pick a fun venue that will look great on television, and you do a 1 through 64, or 68.
You could do 64 if you wanted to go, if you wanted to make it smaller and go down to 32, and that's your tour champion instead of 30,
and
32.
Maybe the winner of that makes $10 million.
Yeah.
If we're going to make it, you know, big splashy numbers, that's fine. But it also allows you to have a good idea of how these guys do in match play leading into, oh, a President's Cup, a Ryder Cup. And these types of things where you can see how guys do in singles and give the one seed the 64. And
let's be honest here, if we can. I know they're like worried that anytime they do match play and they I mean, it doesn't even exist on the calendar anymore. They didn't have a spot for the match play this year. I don't believe it's on the calendar next year. Who knows if they ever go back to any sort of match play events on the regular PGA Tour anytime soon. Oh, well, if the big names aren't in the final, then the TV rating. Man, I'm guessing the TV rating this week wasn't very good anyway.
Oh, Scotty's leading by 8? Great.
Yeah, okay. Scotty won his
$25 million.
Yeah, if that's something that you're worried about, I understand it. But, I mean, the ratings have been going down anyway. Might as well try something a little bit different.
Yeah.
To try to save this event. Just make it feel different, bigger, better. Because it just feels like there's something missing in these playoff events.
You know, you love a venue. USGA loves a venue like Pinehurst. And I know USGA is different from PGA Tour. But, you know, play a tournament on the 10 courses there. You know? Do something. There's such an opportunity. We have so much incredible golf in the United States. Spotlight more courses. Come to Whistling Straits.
Don't get me started on that. I think they should rotate these playoff venues all the time.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
Because the thing that I will give Keegan credit for, and the reason why the BMW is my favorite playoff event of the three, is because, A, it was a little different. So now the tour pros are really working and grinding. And also, you had a lot of different elements you had to factor in. You were at elevation, but then you were also going, you know, at elevation being in Denver itself. And then you're going up and down. Then you've got a little bit of wind. Now, there were just so many different elements that you had to factor in before hitting every shot that we saw some club throws, we saw some club breaks. Like it frustrated them instead of just, you know, playing dome golf that a lot of these guys like to. It actually pushed and tested them, unlike we see at, you know, the FedEx and at, you know, at East Lake. Like, yeah. It was quality entertainment.
I agree.
So rotating these around, which aren't going to happen because, well, Coke has been, you know, forever the tour championship sponsor, so of course they're going to want to have it in Atlanta. FedEx is the biggest sponsor on the PGA Tour, so of course they're going to get their playoff event in Memphis. There's no way around it.
That's the game within the game.
I wish they could do something the way that BMW has with rotating it around, because having these different venues on the PGA Tour is only a good thing to showcase. Because again, we just get stuck in this rotation of all the same golf courses on the PGA Tour. Nothing ever really changes, despite everything else changing around it. The PGA Tour has somehow managed to not really change other than just put up a bunch more money in these tournaments. Like, having some different venues could be fun, I think, for fan bases. And especially, you saw how the fans turned out in Colorado for that. You go to Chicago, they turn out. You come to Wisconsin, we're going to turn out. You hit up New York, D.C., who actually will have a tournament because Truist is going to be there during the tour this year. But there's just so many parts of the country that would love to have professional events and don't get them.
You sound like you're trying to hashtag grow the game.
No, well, that's, you know, if we want to have the real conversation about how the game is being grown, then we can. But that's a completely different show, because we've got to get to something else. Our Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All. Who are we taking? Whose season would you rather have? Scotty, Xander, we discuss next. On the Tee is presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips. Make sure you check out wisconsingolftrips.com if you're looking to book that great golf trip for yourself next year, like Michigan, Nevada, Minnesota, or if you're looking to go to Scotland, Ireland. Jason does a great job with international trips as well. It's a one-stop shop for that next golf getaway. They handle all the tee times, lodging, other logistics, transportation. Try to make it as stress-free as possible for you. Make your golf trips a hole-in-one with Wisconsin Golf Trips. Check them out, wisconsingolftrips.com.
Four, it's On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
Who had the better year this year? Is it the tour champion in Scottie Scheffler? Or is it the two-time major winner, Xander Schauffele? Who are you taking, Stephen?
Even how you phrase that.
What?
It's wrong.
What? How did I phrase it?
People forget that Scottie Scheffler won the Masters.
Yeah, he won a major.
Okay, let's just knock this out. My Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All pick.
Yep.
It's Scottie Scheffler.
It's completely wrong.
He made $62 million this year, Gabe.
Yeah, see, and you get distracted by the money. I'm going to take the legacy. How many majors?
He won the Masters. They have the same number of majors right now.
Yeah.
And Scotty won 4 of the 8 elevated events. He won the Tour Championship. He won the Masters. He won the Olympic gold medal.
Yeah, you know what Scotty can do? He can only win limited field events. That's all he can do. Give him a full field, can't pull it off. Can't win the full field events. Because the Masters is a limited field event.
Oh,
Masters has less than 100 people in it.
Off
limited
this
field.
Horse.
You get everybody in there. Scotty can't pull it off. Scotty can't do it.
You don't even believe what's coming out of your mouth right now.
No, but in all seriousness, especially in golf today, I have no idea how much Xander Schauffele made this year. I don't care. Because the larger point is, there's nothing that Xander can do with the winnings that he made that, I mean, he can do whatever Scotty can do in terms of the money. You know what's the most important thing? When we talk about the most important golf tournaments, there are 4 every year. You know who won half of them this year? Xander bleepin' Schauffele. Like, he matched the career total. Like, after Scotty won the Masters, he had 2 total majors. And then Xander, in the next 3, was able to match Scotty's career total in major championships. When we talk about Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, do we talk about how much money they won? No, we talk about how many majors they won. And when you go out there and win the two out of the 4 events where everybody's actually there, you had the best season. When the stakes were the highest, you were the one who came through when it mattered the most.
Only one of them went to jail. Only one of them birthed a child.
Well, he
and watched him win multiple times.
He didn't birth
it was
the child.
Year.
His wife birthed the child.
Okay. It was the year.
I mean, look,
of Scottie Scheffler.
You can again take it all, man. I want the majors. I want the glory.
He won the Masters.
Yeah, which is nice. It's nice. That's one out of the four. Xander won two out of the four. It's double. It's double the amount.
I don't even think you believe what's coming out of your mouth.
I do believe. I 100% believe. There are four men's professional golf tournaments that matter every year. And Xander won two of them. It's that simple to me. It's all about, if the PGA Tour is actually about legacy.
You don't think the players matters? You don't think?
Not as much as it used to. Still matters. But you cannot tell me that it matters as much as it used to when everybody was still together, because it doesn't. Like, John Rahm's not there. As much as it pains me to say, Bryson DeChambeau isn't there.
But your argument about the Masters doesn't hold, because the guys who qualify for the Masters, every big name that you wanted to be at the Masters was there.
Yeah, 100%. Which is why, again, every big name, they're only at four tournaments a year. And those are the four that matter. And Xander won two of the four.
And I think my argument is, if Scottie wasn't behind bars on Friday morning, he probably wins the PGA instead of Xander.
Well, we'll never know. Instead, some pants got ruined beyond repair, and we'll never know.
In a year of hashtag perspective, come on, Scottie got to put his kid in the trophy to end the year.
I mean, look, it's an epic celebration, right? Putting your kid in the Tour Championship trophy. No one's going to argue that that's not an epic celebration. It's just, I personally would want the majors, because at the end of the day, that's what those two are going to be measured up against. Not how much money did you win, not how many PGA Tour events did you win, how many majors do you have?
People aren't talking about Xander in the same breath as Tiger Woods like they are Scottie.
And I think we are way overblowing Scottie if that's the... Tiger's got 15. You got a long way to go,
Scottie.
I'm
just talking about a single season was Tiger-like. It wasn't Tiger. It was Tiger-like. That is why Scottie had a better year than Xander Schauffele.
It might have been like the fifth best Tiger year. Just like, I don't know if you saw that tweet floating around, like Shohei Ohtani's having like Barry Bonds' 11th best year, and yet he's like runaway MVP in the National League. That's what it kind of feels like to me. Because Tiger won three one time. He's won multiple times. The
but
majors
just,
matter.
Just like Tiger, Scottie delivered us a jail meme and a major championship in the same calendar year.
Okay, again, you know what? The jail meme does mean a lot for the legacy. It means a lot more to the legacy than the 62 or 3, whatever, million dollars he ended up winning.
Maybe Xander will be behind bars in 25.
We'll be back at the Bog live next week on the T.